morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. TGIF, yes, thanking God it's Friday. I'm Stacy Ann, hanging out with you today. Thank you for tuning in, and I want to tell you, I am fired up this morning. Yes, indeed. I am so I almost couldn't sleep. I know I slept well, but in my sleeping, I was thinking of strategies and things that we can do as Oregonians to come together and fight really a constitutional crisis that we have on our hands here. I don't know if you realize that, and I know a lot of our focus has been on what's going on in the national crisis. But right here under our own nose, right here in Oregon, we have a Oregon constitutional crisis and a U.S. constitutional crisis. Do you realize that? Anytime you have a single person who takes it upon themselves to make themselves the designee and all of the control rests in themselves, that's like a king or a queen making the rules and telling who can play and who can't play and who's the winner and who's the loser. And for me, I've just been kind of at my wits end a little bit going, okay, what do we do about this? And you know, I've talked about this. Where do we go from here, right? Oh, the election, we still don't know the results. We'll get into the second hour. I'm going to talk more on a national level on the second hour. But this hour, I really wanted us as Oregonians, and I know normally Friday is kind of random Friday, and maybe it is a little bit random, some of the things that I'm going to bring up to you, a lot of content to get through today. But I'm wondering, you know, what do we do? Where do we go from here? It seems like everything we try to recall the governor, we were short. We try to get some good elected folks in, we're running short. We can't seem to get over this pandemic, right? And it's like the numbers one day are 700, cases. And of course, again, they're not confirmed cases, they're probable cases, right? Or however the terminology is. And then yesterday it was higher, so much higher than there was on the news this morning was talking about, oh, Governor Brown, she tweeted again, and oh, she's so disappointed. And it just doesn't add up. And then there was an article, I don't know if you had a chance to see this yet, and I might put this up on Facebook, I'm gonna spend a lot of time on it, that they don't even really know how many tests they have in Oregon. OHA is not real sure. They haven't been tracking. They really don't have a method of tracking how many actual tests there are here in Oregon. Now, that's interesting, you know, because we're having some numbers issues in Oregon. We know that there's some, still they're counting ballots and they're not quite certifying yet in certain counties, and there's some confusion there. And let alone, you know, with the numbers from the health crisis and all throwing all the batches of numbers together, you know, and let alone hearing that they're really not contact tracing. So these models that they're closing down our whole state of Oregon on are based on models, projections, probable, nothing really scientific. And yet they throw out science as a reason to shut down for 2 weeks. Oh, man, I don't know about you, but this has got me pretty stirred, but I'm fired up, and I'm fired up in a good way, and I'm going to go into that a little bit later on in the show about an instance in my past of when I was fired up and what happened. But first, let's make first things first. You know, we are in a constitutional crisis here, and I've brought up a video that I want to share with you, the audio of it, here in just a moment, and I'll put this up on our Facebook page, but I was so thankful for this post today that I saw from my mom. Thanks, Mom, if you're listening this morning. And it was very, very good. And I think it keeps us focused, making the main thing the main thing. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That comes from Romans 12:21. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That comes from 1 John 4:4. Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 24:20 verse 4 says, "For the Lord your God is with the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory." Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear." 1 John 5:4 through 5 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8:37 through 9:39. And that is just an incredible reminder that we are not in this alone and that there is a plan, and we need to tie into that strength and that faith to get through these difficult times, because we cannot get caught up in the confusion and the emotion of everything, because it's through the emotion that they're manipulating us. And we need to stay focused on the fact, and the fact remains that we're in a constitutional crisis right here. And we can do something about it. We, the people, can do something about it. I'm going to play this wonderful clip. This lady, her name is Chris Ann Hall. You may know her. She's a constitutional attorney. She's fired up herself. And her and I have been texting and trying to find a time for her to come on our show because of what's going on nationally. She's in great demand. And she said, here's a clip for our friends in Oregon. And maybe you've caught wind of this, but I'm going to share it with you on our show. It's a video from YouTube, but I'm going to play the audio and I'm going to put it up on our Facebook. And I think we should share. And then we're going to have some action items that we can get to after this. So I'm going to go ahead and get this started. Here we go.
JC, would you mind if I gave a little constitutional lesson to our Oregonian friends out there?
On what?
So what we have...
Your name's on the show.
Yeah. So Oregon governor warns about $1,250 in fines. So what I thought we might do for fun is actually go through some language here on the Oregon Constitution, mm-hmm. so that the people can see. Look how big I can make that. How cool is that? So the people can see the Oregon Constitution. So Oregon Constitution, this is Article 2, Section 1, Separation of Powers. "The powers of the government shall be divided into three separate branches, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial." And look at this. "And no person charged with official duties under one of these branches shall exercise any of the functions of another except as this Constitution expressly provided." So if we have governor of Oregon issuing laws that are criminal, by the way, this is not just a civil fine. You are a criminal for Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah.
Right?
Month in jail.
So what you have then is a violation of separation of powers, because Article 3, Section 1 says the legislative power is reserved to the people, vested in the legislative branch. Article 4, Section 1, governor is the chief executive, not the lawmaker. So governors don't have the authority to make law according to the Constitution.
Yeah, we don't have governors anymore.
No, we have kings. So we're a queen in this point. So not only that, in Article 1, Section 1, "All men shall be secure in their natural right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own conscience. And no law shall in any case whatever control the free exercise and enjoyment of religious opinions or interfere with the rights of conscience. Jesse, I wonder what no law means in Oregon. What does that mean? You know what's crazy? The people who wrote the Oregon Constitution didn't know how to spell. Just crazy. I don't know. There's so many spelling errors in the Oregon Constitution. Private property shall not be taken for public use, nor shall the particular services of any man be deemed without just demanded without just compensation. All these businesses the governor is shutting down. Where's the just compensation to these people? Look, without such compensation first assessed and tendered.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the compensation for your businesses being shut down? It's clear under two sections of the Constitution, you can't tell the churches to close. But if you close the businesses, you need to first assess and give compensation to these businesses. How about this one? No law shall be passed restraining any of the inhabitants of the state from assembling together in a peaceable manner to consult for their common good.
Mm-hmm.
There's that phrase again, JC. No law. I wonder, does no mean something else in Oregon? I don't know, right? And then we have the Ninth Amendment from the U.S. Constitution placed in here, which just says all the rights of the universe belong to the people. And none of them belong to the government. We declare that all men, when they form a social compact, are equal in right, that all power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness, and they have at all times the right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such a manner as they think proper. Now watch this, JC. Somebody out there is going to be saying, well, what about the Emergency Powers Act?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I actually Googled the U.S. because remember here it says that the powers are separated. You have a separation of powers except as this Constitution expressly provides. So I actually Googled the Constitution of the state of Oregon right here. For the word emergency, which comes up 31 times. And in this word emergency, the only time it mentions power for the legislative branch is how the legislative branch can give extra money in time of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot give the governor extra power, according to the Constitution. Now watch this. This is still the Oregon Constitution. We actually have a section about emergencies for governors. Additional powers of governor. Use of general funds, monies, and lottery funds. If the governor declares that a catastrophic disaster has occurred, the governor may use money, use lottery funds to create and spend more money.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing in this section. This is the section because this is the end.
Law.
This is nothing in this section about her making law. There is nothing in this section about her having the authority to shut down businesses. There is nothing in this section that shows an authority for her to shut down churches or to make people criminals for having Thanksgiving. So what the people of Oregon must do is study their constitution and learn what their governor is doing is looking more like a monarch than a governor. And what she is writing is completely null and void. Because here are the consequences, JC. Our Oregonian friends either deny this authority, deny the validity of this authority, and refuse to comply. Or they must admit the Constitution did not create their government, does not define their government, that their governor is a queen, and that they are subjects to the kingdom of Queen Oregonian. Those are the only two consequences that you have, JC. You either accept that the Constitution is the supreme law of Oregon, and you as a person stand up and defend it by defying these orders, or you just simply admit yourself to be a subject and live with it and all those wonderful benefits of being a subject. Now, inevitably, somebody's going to say, well, what if I go to jail, Chrisanne? Are you going to provide me with my legal counsel? America was built in a state of emergency, JC, where the founders of America realized that principles were more important, that standing for the rights of the people and the future of America was more important than the temporal consequences that the government can apply to you. Don't tell me that it wasn't that this was an easy time. You know what? Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. He didn't say, give me liberty, don't send me to jail. John Adams said, liberty must at all hazards be supported. They stood for liberty. And I'm calling out to our Oregonian friends, stand together as a community for your supreme law of the land, because it's how you It's how you save Oregon. It's how you save Oregon. That's what we got to do.
But can't we just all be nice?
You know what, JC? I am being
Let's
nice.
Let's just stand in the middle and get along.
No, I am being nice. You know why? Because my God commands me to love my neighbor as myself. And if I don't stand for my rights, if I don't stand for my neighbor's rights, if I don't stand and educate people on what they don't know about how their constitutions are written to secure their rights, then guess what? I am not being nice. I am being an ass. So don't tell me that I gotta go around and sing kumbaya while tyrants and rulers steal the liberty from the people that I love, steal the liberty from my neighbors in Oregon, because that makes you unhappy. I'm sorry. You're happy being a subject. You're happy being a servant. Well, I'm not happy, and neither is my neighbor. And don't ask me to be an immoral ass, because I'm not going to do that. Thank you very much. End of subject.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Much to talk about that when we get back from this break. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann, and that was Chris Ann with a great dose of information, news that we can use on this Friday. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann, and I'm fired up today. How about you? Oh, what a great segment from Chris Ann Hall, chrisannhall.com. And Chris Ann and I have been in communication trying to find a time that we can get her in on the air so that we can talk and chat a little bit more about what's going on here in Oregon. And I am so excited to bring on the line with me a friend of mine. Her name is Gwen Caldwell. Good morning, Gwen. How are you?
Good morning, Stacey.
So glad to have you on the air with me this morning. You know, when I think about grassroots activism and educating the populace in a sense of what our rights are and we the people, when I think of my top five people, you're like my top second person.
Aw, thanks.
Because I have watched you inform the people and advocate for activism on issues such as this. And I wanted you to share with us a little bit. Do you have any reflection on Chris Ann Hall and what she shared with Oregonians this morning before we get kind of dig into it?
I think she made three really great points. One is the governor does not write the law. It's not in her job description.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be governed by consent. And if you don't consent, if the people don't consent, there's nothing the governor can do about it. And thirdly, we need to quit cowering.
Mm.
Because this isn't a whittling of our constitutional rights. This is a fillet. They are filleting us. And it has to stop.
Absolutely has to stop. And one of the things that I love about what she said was that we cannot be fear-filled of a little fine and something going on that's going to cause us an opportunity to, you know, like a threat, some sort of threat. We've got to realize that we indeed have the power still. She does not. But if we're in ignorance, right? If we're in ignorance, she can just continue to do. It's almost like she's trying to see what she can get away with.
Well, the Constitution does not give the government any rights. The Constitution is to ensure our inalienable rights.
That is so very true. And Gwen, when we come back from this break, I want to talk to you a little bit. Have you talked to us about something you did in your community about oath of office and something that we may be able to do here? Thank you so much, Gwen, for being a part of the conversation. We'll continue after this. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you with news that you can use. I'm Stacey Ann. You can like us at Facebook at KSLM Radio. Find us online at kslm.news. And don't forget, we'll have this saved up and produced on a podcast up at our website, kslm.news. You want to share this information with your friends and family because we're all looking at what can we do? What as the people can we do? And it's been interesting because there have been pop-up suggestions and organizations, very, very grassroots organizations of people coming together saying, nope, not on our watch. In fact, I got notified of this. This was passed on. I don't even know who originated it, but it says Brown's latest antics are not being received well around the state of Oregon. We got word that towns all over Oregon will be gathering and protesting this latest order. The plan is a simple gathering in complete defiance to the next lockdown. I think we can agree that this will not be the last one, but surely extended past 2 weeks. The nonsense is coming from the state and it needs to stop. And are the people willing to push back? Our words seem to fall on deaf ears, and we truly are living without representation in our government. So the question is, what are we to do? Well, this Saturday, I guess, in communities all around Oregon, this Saturday at 12 p.m., towns around the state are gathering in mass, holding a simple all-together get-together and potluck. This is the opportunity to grow our group, spread the message while sticking it to the mass and the tyrant-in-chief. I am proposing we do the same. And so I guess people are starting to put together grassroots community get-togethers, wanting to have get-togethers in action. And we know certainly here in the Capitol, I was alerted tomorrow at noon is going to be another get-together at the Capitol. I'm not sure who's organizing this. We know next Wednesday is a get-together at the Capitol and a big feast. We're going to do a big pot blessing. I've turned it into a potluck, to a pot blessing and a big feed in protest and taking care of the needy in our area. Anybody's welcome to come if you want to get involved. They're calling it the Defeat the Steal Rally and going against the lockdown. That's next Wednesday. And certainly if you know something in your community all around Oregon, we want to stand up and stand for our rights because we truly do have a constitutional crisis and there are things that we can do. I've got Gwen Caldwell on the line. She is my friend. She's currently residing in North Dakota. And her and I have worked together in the trenches for great causes of liberty in the past. side by side in South Dakota. And Gwen, you had a situation there in North Dakota where you exerted your knowledge on the Constitution and the powers of the elected. And I wanted you to share with our listeners, because I think it's very instrumental, and I think we could utilize that here. Talk to us a little bit about the oath of office.
Okay. I want to start. You sent me a copy of Kate Brown's Oath of Office, and it was glaring to me because it is in violation of federal law. Her oath of office is in violation of federal law. 5 U.S. Code 3331 dictates the oath of office. So if her oath of office isn't compliant with federal law, I don't even know what to say about that. But the oath of office, according to this federal law, I, whoever you are, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. This section does not affect other oaths required by law. So her oath of office is, I, Kate Brown, do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Oregon, which, of course, she's already in violation of both, and that I will freely discharge the duties of governor according to the best of my ability. She is an enemy domestic. Let me declare about that. Okay, so also, the state of Oregon, by law, requires all officers and employees of this state that are elected or appointed officers be bonded. They have to have a fidelity bond in order to hold their office. I don't know of any state where that's an exception. So what I did when our city council wanted to impose very restrictive COVID-related ordinances, I immediately wrote them a letter. You have to have a paper trail. So I wrote them a letter and explained to them that they were not my physician and had no authority to make medical decisions for me, that the FDA had not approved any PPEs that would prevent the spread or contraction of COVID or any other disease, and that by forcing me to wear a mask that could cause other potential health risks to me was inappropriate, and it was a violation of my civil and constitutional rights. And therefore, since they were considering doing these things, that I wanted a certified copy of their oath and bond. I got no response. I sent that same letter to the governor, who I did get a response from. There are certain things, like when you walk into a court of law and you tell a judge that whatever he's doing breaches the appearance of fairness, everybody sitting in that room probably doesn't get the legal implication of that. I can assure you the judge gets it. When you go to an elected official and you want a copy of their oath and bond, they know they're in trouble. that you're coming after them in their private capacity, where they can't hide behind, I'm immune. No. So I didn't get a copy of their oath and bond. So I called the auditor. In the case of Kate Brown, you would probably have to get the certified copy of the oath and bond from the Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. But for local officials, you would get that from your local city auditor, which I did. And then I signed that oath of office, and I said, I accept the undersigned contract. And I signed it, and I had the auditor notarize my signature. Now, I'm in private contract with each one of those city commissioners and the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the city council meeting and served them. Well, their Bible of all of these encroaching ordinances came down to two sentences, which are unenforceable, which said, please practice good health and, you know, safety standards, and please wear a mask if you believe that you have COVID so that you're not spreading it. If they had imposed this where it was enforceable by law, then I can go after their bond. And once you go after their bond and their bond companies drop them from all of these people in your state, expecting them to pay out on these fidelity bonds, they drop the bond, and then that person cannot any longer hold office.
That's pretty serious.
Yeah, they have to be bonded. And there's a process.
So when you would...
You have to keep a paper trail, but you also have to notify them that you are now going after their bond. And then you file against the bond and you send them a copy. You have to keep a paper trail. But ultimately, you can go after them, and then you can remove their power through their bond.
That's really amazing, Gwen. And when we come back from this break, we got another break that we're going to go into. When we come back from this break, I want you to talk to us the rest of the story and what happened and give us an update. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, enjoying a wonderful conversation. And we're really fired up today, friends, because we are in a constitutional crisis. We really are. We've got to do something. What are you willing to do today? Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to write in? Are you willing to call in? Are you willing to show up? I think so. It's time. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. We're going to continue the conversation with Gwen after this. Good morning to you. It's 7:50 in the morning. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's a cool morning today, 33 degrees. Only going to get up to 48. In fact, it was a little froggy and frosty this morning. So if you had anywhere to go, you're probably going to need to scrape a little bit. And certainly take your time, because as I was heading to the studio, I usually get here about 6 in the morning. It was pretty dark and pretty froggy, as my kids used to say. And we're continuing the conversation this morning. And I want to share with you a couple things, friends. I want to thank you for your feedback. I certainly appreciate giving me stories and leads and insight. I really just love it. And it's so cool to connect with you and meet you in person. Like, I had an opportunity to meet yesterday Avis, and she's been so good at researching and getting information to me and connecting me to the community here as I continue to grow and meet and network. And I so appreciate each and every one of you, because we really are better together, and we can get through this, and we don't have to live like this any longer. There are things that we can do. We just don't realize that the power is still in the people. And I am so proud right now of our Marion County Commission here. And Colm Willis wrote a letter, and I thought this was really good. It was his newsletter regarding the virus and what's going on. And he said, "Friends, last Friday, the governor announced a statewide two-week freeze that will go in effect this Wednesday. However, she's also indicated that for certain counties, it could last up to 4 weeks. There is no question that the number of recorded cases of COVID statewide has increased, but I do not support the governor's order. The governor ordered that all restaurants close in-person dining and move to takeout only. She also ordered that all gyms must close and all churches must cut capacity to 25 people indoors. The problem is that the historical data does not support these restrictions, and the human cost is incredible. Combined, the number of COVID cases in Marion County that can be traced back to churches, gyms, and restaurants is less than 1%. So even if these restrictions are effective, they will impact a tiny fraction of our cases. Moreover, these closures will mean that thousands of people will lose their jobs just in time for the holidays. Many of our friends and neighbors won't be able to make rent, pay their mortgage, or buy Christmas presents for their kids. The callousness of this decision overwhelms me. You can see the data for the workplace outbreaks in the chart below. All of the cases in the chart make up only 1/3 of our total cases in Marion County." And then he's got an image, and I'll include this on our Facebook page so you can refer to it later. He also goes on to say the governor also said that she would order the state police and local police to make an arrest and bring criminal charges if a person has over 6 people in one's home for a social gathering. This is outrageous. With this order, the governor appears to be making criminal law by fiat and piercing the sanctity of each person's home. This violates every principle of privacy and decency that we as Americans cherish. I will oppose any attempt to use the police to monitor the private social gatherings at people's homes. Oregon is not a police state. We are seeing increased spread of COVID in private social gatherings. I urge everyone to social distance, limit gathering size, wear masks, and use caution and common sense. But I will never, ever advocate for the police to make criminals of honest people in Marion County. I will oppose anyone's attempt to do so. It's an honor to serve you as a county commissioner. God bless, Colm. And I think that's such a good message for us to hang our hat on today right here in Marion County. And as we continue the conversation with my friend Gwen and what she did there up in her community in North Dakota, she, as their local city council, I believe it was, right, Gwen, it was making decisions on how to restrict behavior and try to guide personal responsibility in your community. Tell us the rest of the story, Gwen.
Before I tell you the rest of the story, what I would really like to tell people is people think that the presidential elections are important and all of that. The very most important election in any county in this country is your sheriff.
Yes.
You need to have a constitutional sheriff because basically they are the ultimate law enforcement mm-hmm. in that county. They can tell the feds to get the hell out if they want. Mm-hmm. And they have. Even in Oregon,
right.
They have.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really important that we do pay attention to those local elections, and especially the sheriff. So ultimately what has happened now is the mayor, against a vote and the will of the commissioners, has imposed some guidelines that are unenforceable. So if I go to the store without a mask and I refuse to leave, then the store can now call the police and the police can arrest me for trespassing, for refusing to leave. But they can't do anything about the fact that I won't wear a mask. So that's been the end result. Our governor, who is a Republican and was reelected, the minute he got reelected, I mean, like the next day, he started pulling a Fauci-Burks kind of a deal, and people are a bit upset with him. But I am a free American. I will not. There is nothing I need badly enough to wear a mask. That is what subjects do, and I am not a subject. I am a free American. I went to the hospital emergency room because my throat was swelling, and when I got there, they wanted me to wear a mask. My throat is swelling. That would tell you that I'm not breathing well. And they wanted me to put a mask on to come into the emergency room. Girl, I'm telling you, I did not put a mask on. I took their mask and held it 6 inches from the front of my face, but I did not put that mask on. I refuse.
Wow. Did they insist on you having a COVID test?
No. They did not test me for COVID. They took my temperature and made me use some sanitation cream or whatever they call that stuff that they make you rub on your hands. Alrighty then.
Oh boy.
I'm just old and crabby like that. I was raised in a time when the Constitution and the rule of law meant something. And I don't know where that got lost. But I'm telling you, you need to shut off your television. You need to straighten up your spine. Pull up your big people boots and tell them, oh, hell no.
Yes, and that's exactly what we're doing here in Oregon, Gwen. I thank you for joining me today on this conversation. We'll do another check-in real soon. Thank you, Gwen. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for having me, Stacey.
You bet. Be blessed. Happy Thanksgiving. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, enjoying a wonderful discussion this morning. Can you tell I'm fired up? Oh my gosh, yes, there's things that we can do, and I got way more content. We're going to be checking in with some others this next hour. I hope you tune in. Stay tuned in. We're going to open up the phone lines as well. If you want to join the conversation, if there's something that you want to add to the conversation or idea you have, give us a call, 503-589-1220. We're going to get into the 8 o'clock hour after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
And thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacey Ann.
Good morning to you, my friend. We're in hour two on this Friday. I'm Stacey Ann, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Oh, if it's your birthday today, happy birthday to you, in fact.
several people that I know that it's their birthday today. Amanda, it's your birthday today. Happy birthday, my friend. And it's a significant one, right? So glad to have you in my life. She is someone I've known since I think I was 10 years old. She lives right here in Salem. She's a great patriot. Happy birthday to you and our sweet little Christina that works here in the office. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Jody. Happy birthday to Daniela. Happy birthday to Rennell and my good friend back in South Dakota. Tried to get him on the air today. Didn't quite work out. He's a guest on another show. His name is Sam Kiphart, and he is an incredible friend and certainly a patriot, and we will get him on the air real soon. It's his birthday as well today. Happy birthday to you, Sam. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that we can use, and certainly we've got a lot of things going on. We have going on this weekend. In fact, Saturday is a fantastic opportunity for you to come out and to show up and be a part of our Supermarket Saturday, something that we've had here in the community for 25 years, where we gather our non-perishable items, bring them down to the Safeway on Center Street from 9 to 4 p.m. Terry Soule's going to be doing his show live from there. We're going to be doing updates and broadcasts throughout the day. I'll be down there. Some of the other KSLM staff will be there as well, and we are hoping to gather all kinds of food and non-perishables to help the food insecure, and certainly with the closing of many of the main businesses. In fact, I heard yesterday, and I've got to verify it, but it sounds like another business may be closing, another local business restaurant may be closing, won't come through the other side of this lockdown. A lot of our businesses are struggling, and so many are unemployed. And we know how well the unemployment kicks in. It takes several weeks, if not months, for those finances to come in. And those that work in food service, you know, a lot of them get tips and cash each day, and that adds to their viability and their family income. And there's going to be some hurt as we move through the holiday seasons, and we can step up and do our part. The other thing that's going on next Wednesday, there's going to be a gathering at the Capitol, and we're going to have a wonderful opportunity for you and I to come together and eat and celebrate our freedoms and our liberty. We're going to have a Thanksgiving protest, a potluck or a pot blessing protest. And we have a tent that can cover 500 people. There's going to be several pastors. There'll be a prayer. There'll be speakers. It'll just be a great time to be together the day before Thanksgiving at noon. And so we're needing volunteers. We're needing donations, all of that. We have the information on our Facebook page, and certainly can send me an email if you need more information or you have a way that you want to help. Maybe you want to bake a pie or bring a salad to share. And that's kind of the idea here. You can certainly send me an email, Stacy@KSLM.news. Make sure it's Stacy, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. And I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to Bill Sunderland, Country Financial Sunderland Agency. He is a great sponsor. If you need anything as far as insurance, give him a call, 503-885-0789, Sunderland Agency. Last hour, we really hit it pretty hard in regards to what are we going to do about where we go from here? What are we going to do about it? We're really under a constitutional crisis here in Oregon. Not only is our U.S. Constitution being violated, but also our Oregon Constitution. Nowhere under statute, I don't care if we're an emergency clause or not, does Governor Brown have the authority to just make laws and then have criminal penalty attached to it? And so what are we going to do about it? And so I was listening to the media this morning, and I was a little challenged by the fact that they're not even talking to the people about what we can do. They're not even talking. They're giving the governor a free pass. The media. We are long away from the times where we had journalists that would dig and challenge and ask tough questions. We're not having that here in Oregon, but we the people have the power. And I'm going to open up the phone lines because I think I want to hear from you guys and see what's going on. And I want us to come up with some solutions and things that we can do.
you know, we the people can do to, you know, strengthen our ability to say, nope, not on our watch. Nope, we're going to gather together. No, you cannot know. What I do in my home is my own private business. And I'm going to open up the phone lines. And good morning to you. I believe this is Glenn on the line. How are you today?
Yeah, Stacy, your friend opened a huge can of worms. I did not realize that every officer, county, city, state, and I guess federal officer would have to have that their oath of office and the bond.
There's something certainly now, to research in Oregon.
Now, let's look at it this way. Let's say I lose my job or my business, and I add the tally of losses and document them on a document.
Mm-hmm.
And then I take her oath, and she violated my ability to have a business open, and I lost the money. I should then go after her. I should then state the violation of the state constitution and the federal constitution in a document, declaration page. Here's my losses from my business or my hours lost. Here's the bill. And then submit that to her bond company. If we did this by the hundreds of thousands, could you imagine? Where's Kevin Mannix when you need him?
Well, and I'm telling you, Glenn, the thing that's really interesting that Chris Ann, the very first segment that we played, and I put this up on our Facebook page, she talks about that it says even before the government takes away from businesses and from our livelihood, they're supposed to be financial reimbursement. And we know that in eminent domain, and I'm not an attorney and I'm not pretending to be one, I don't even play one on TV, but when your constitution's right there and your Oregonian constitution's right there and she's in violation, I would think that there would be an opportunity. She was leaving herself personally open to personal liability. And again, where are the constitutional attorneys? I agree with you. And I think it's something that we need to research. Now, I don't know. Maybe that's the case in North Dakota with the bonds, but I think it's something that we need to research and see.
My thought would be if a multitude of people got together, because you would only need and put all their grievances together on a declaration page and then submitted the losses plus you wouldn't need to, not every person would have to submit their oath of office or have to submit their bond number, but we could all do it in a group, a large group, which would mean the violations of men, 50, 60, 100 people would be in maybe the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. The bond then would then dismiss her bond, and she would be without bond and with no position in governance, if that were true.
Yes, and this is something, it's very interesting. I think it's an angle that we need to look at as the people. And again, the power is in the people. And if we come together, and I've been telling businesses, when I talk to businesses one-on-one, when I'm talking to these owners that have been shut down again, I've been charging them with keep track, especially bars and restaurants, keep track of what you've lost. From, you know, a lot of them stayed open till midnight or so. You know, what your income, look at last year's income. What have you lost? Plus, add to the money that you've had to stay open when you reopen, all the things that you had to add, the plexiglass, the moving of the lotto machines, things like that your business had to incur. Put that in there. Keep track of that. And I would say personally, each individual business and even individuals, what have you lost? I think that there could be some sort of class action opportunity here in the near future. And it certainly gives us some opportunity to invest that you and I, Glenn, and all of these businesses, we can sign on and say, not on our watch. You have overstepped your boundary. And even if in the states, the courts won't see it because in this state, she's appointed all of these people, the bonds people, the people that are going to have to pay the price if this indeed is an opportunity, I could see where it would take the rug right out from underneath of her, I would think.
Yeah, and now I want to come to that luncheon that you guys are going to have next week.
Fantastic.
And maybe some of us could get our heads together and talk to maybe people that are, I used to be with a lot of legal people and continuing legal education. I knew a lot of the lawyers from all the way from Los Angeles to Seattle over the years. And Mr. Black, of the Black's Law Dictionary. I even took him to the airport.
Fantastic.
For his meeting. So I was aware of how many, but of course a lot of lawyers are on the take. They work for the government agencies and they won't go against the guy who signs the back of their checks,
mm-hmm.
even though they know, even though deep in their heart they know that what they're doing is against their neighbors and their friends. But there are some lawyers that have got the guts.
And
that would take this on and
we
challenge
need, we,
at least try it.
You're exactly right, and we need to pull together, especially even our retired lawyers, those that have, maybe they're retired and maybe they spend part of their time in Arizona or Florida, but they're still Oregonians that know the law. We need to pull together that think tank and that mastermind of folks and strategy and truly come together and come boldly forward strategically in a way using the law, using the words, using the justice system to find a way to say, nope, not on our watch, not anymore. And I think we could start, in a sense, a revolution here. It started in Oregon that will flood other states, and they'll see if they can do this in Oregon, we can do it in our state, certainly. And when you talk about attorneys being intimidated, we're watching that on the national level right now as people are threatening those a part of the Trump team and the legal team. They're getting threatened and they're having to call forth protection and they're intimidating them. And even intimidating to the fact that people are writing letters to college universities and say, don't hire anybody that has worked within the Trump administration. They're trying to cut off and use bullying and intimidation through the education system and through, the intellect in a sense. And we can't have that. We can't stand for that any longer. Glenn, thank you for being a part of the conversation today. I look forward to meeting you next Wednesday at noon the Capitol. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday. And it's so good to have your interaction and your input. And we're going to be continuing the conversation here. And I want to remind you folks, give us a call, 503-589-1220. And we are better together. And I know that we have a way. There is a way. We have to pray about it. We have to stay in a place of prayer, but we also have to roll up our sleeves and get active and do something. And we've got to find others like us who are willing to do something. They're tired of being bullied. I know I'm tired of it. They're tired of the threats. We're tired of the media trying to tell us how we need to think and how we need to act. And we're going to stand up and do something. I'm going to have on the line coming up next my friend Jeff with the Oregon Faith and Freedom Coalition. We're gonna talk about some ways that you and I can get involved and what we can do to find those people like us. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. You know, I am so proud of the patriots that are standing up, the moms, the dads, the everyday heroes that are standing strong for life and liberty. And up on my Facebook feed just right now, Lindsey Graham, if you remember Lindsey Graham from Glamour Studios, downtown Salem. She was one of the first businesses to say, you know, I'm going to reopen. I need to take care of my family. I've got contractors in my salon who need to provide for their families. I'm reopening. I remember how she was harassed and threatened by Governor Brown, and this was clear back last spring. And she has since started a Patriot, I think it's called Patriot Barbie. And it's a Facebook page where she connects with people not only here in Oregon, but all over to stand strong. And she just put a video up and it's a live feed. And I watched a little bit during the break. And apparently she's shopping somewhere in Walmart. I don't know if it's in Oregon. I couldn't gather that. But she's in Walmart shopping without a mask. And someone just pulled out, she was confronted about not wearing a mask. And some employee pulled out a mask out of his pocket that looked like it was pre-used, and it even had like a hair on the inside of it. And she's like, are you kidding me? It was really good. And I'm just so proud of each and every one of you that are standing strong, standing our ground, saying, nope, not on our watch. And again, last hour, the first of last hour, I played a clip, and it was kind of long. It was over 10 minutes. That is from Chris Ann Hall. And if you go to chrisannhall.com, she is a constitutional attorney. In fact, on the weekends, she was doing a broadcast once a week or whatever. We would highlight her show on the weekends, but she's kind of transitioning into some other things right now. She's super duper cool. We're going to try to have her on the show within the next week or so if we can find a time. But she did a segment that was good on YouTube. A friend to Oregonians here. Look at what's going on and how your governor does not have the authority to do what you're doing. We truly are in a constitutional crisis here in Oregon in regards to the Oregon Constitution and the U.S. Constitution. What are we going to do about it? Are we just going to hide in our homes and only have two or three of us for Thanksgiving? Are we going to continue to monitor our own personal responsibility and take things into our own hands as we're given the liberty, not by government, but our unalienable rights come from our Creator, right? And so are we going to stand firm with one another, join in and say, nope, not anymore, not on our watch. And our liberty and our freedom is being crushed. And we don't even know what to do about it. Well, there are things that we can do about it. Our faith and our freedom are so essential to who we are as Americans. And on the line with me, I believe I have Jeff with me. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me kind of last minute this morning. And I want to get a status update from you. And since our time together about a week or so ago, we were talking about taking action and what we can do as Oregonians, joining our efforts. And you and I kind of put a phone number together, and we were talking about doing a campaign of calling Oregonians and getting their feedback and have them directly contact the governor. Talk to us a little bit about that effort and where we're at with that.
Well, that is what happens. I belong to an organization that includes Republicans and Democrats, and a fellow Democrat who does what I do with a business I have told me that when they have situations like this, organizations spend huge money motivating people to contact their proper people like the governor. So everyone should call 503-378-4582 and complain that this is overly dictatorial and that she should rescind it and, do away with these kinds of future edicts that are wholly inappropriate in our republic. But I do have what's called a pass-through campaign that I'm working on, that if people want to help fund it, they could go to OregonFaithAndFreedom.org and make a PAC donation, and I'll turn that into some calls to the governor's office as people respond to a question about whether they support this lockdown or not. And if they don't, they're offered a chance to patch through to the governor's office and make their wishes known. So if anybody wants to help with that, OregonFaithAndFreedom.org, and just have to realize again that everyone has, and only 6% of the population uses, everyone has the ability to give $50 or $100 that will generally come back to them from their income, their state income taxes.
Jeff, what does something like that usually cost to do a big call like that? Give us an idea of what the expense is.
If we put several hundred dollars into it, we can do a day-long approach that just leads to people picking up, people pressing one when they hear the recording, going and leaving a message, and we can just get a steady drumbeat of calls going to her office. I think that's one of the things that we don't often do on the conservative side. We just accept something, we're all busy, and we don't think, okay, these people are political people, they will respond to complaints. A quick survey I did just recently shows me that over 62% of our population disagree with the governor on this. It kind of surprises me that so many people, 37%, have some percentage of agreement with her. And I think those must be the people who don't have their own business. They must be somehow insulated from the impact of these shutdowns. And so they think what she's doing is fine.
Well, and that's a great example of getting an idea of where Oregonians are at. And I would say maybe the 30% are those that haven't been affected because they're still getting their state paycheck, right? And I love how the Republican leaders, I don't know if you had a chance to read this or see how they stood up and they wrote a letter to the governor. I read it a couple days ago on the show. And they actually suggested maybe she should donate her salary during this lockdown time, you know, to show true compassion, you know, and some of these folks are insulated. But what I know to be true is there are many people that won't come through the other side of this in their business. It's too costly at a critical time in our Oregon history. And we've got to do something. We got to stand behind these businesses, stand with them. Jeff, stay on the line. I've got a few more questions after this break, if you will. Will that be all right?
Oh, sure.
All right. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We'll be back after this. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Friday. Feeling all fired up today. Certainly all this information, a lot of content to get through to keep all of us engaged in the process. And what can we do about the situation that we're in? And I want to remind you that this show, the first hour in this show, will be up on the podcast this afternoon. I'll get it done probably about 1 o'clock today. And you can go to KSLM.news, grab the link, and share it on your social media with your friends. And I'll include the clip from Chris Ann. And I want to say thank you to Lee, who's listening this morning, and said, oh my, we all need to hear what Chris Ann had to say today. How many Oregonians know what the Constitution says? We need to get fired up. If we can't get fired up by listening to the facts, then we're dead inside and part of the problem. And I agree. And just a reminder, too, our wonderful commissioner here in Marion County has stood up strong, and he has a great letter. I'm going to include that too on our Facebook page and in the show plan today. But just a reminder, you know, this shutdown that they're doing here in Oregon and all across the state, you know, there's some counties that have hardly had any incidences or cases, and yet they're having to shut down their local diner and their, you know, their community, their churches to 25 people. Where are the Patriot pastors, by the way? Where are the Patriot pastors? I know you listened today. I know you're listening, and I'm encouraging you to show up on Wednesday and be a part of the plan and show up with your congregation, and let's get together and say, no, not on our watch, because our Patriot pastors need to be a part of the answer, because you are. You have the hope. You are called by God to lead and to be a part, be the light in the culture. And so we're going to have a wonderful celebration Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. And we're going to break bread together. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have opportunity for speakers and prayer, and there'll be some music and some video. And it's not just in Salem. This is going on in many capitals across the nation. It's a gathering, but not many states are on such lockdown, mandatory lockdown like ours. And our commissioner here has said, you know, at a time when many of our friends and neighbors won't be able to make rent, pay their mortgage, or buy Christmas presents for their kids, this lockdown, the callousness of the decision overwhelms him and all of us, really. You can see the data from workplace outbreaks in the chart below, and he includes a chart and says many of the cases in this chart make up only one-third of the total cases in Marion County. And you see that the restaurants is not a place where they're breaking out, and certainly not gyms. Actually, when you look at where the breakouts are happening, It's happening in like the long-term care facilities and in corrections, and then like in the food processing places. And so it seems like it's so stringent, and you're wondering, what can we do about it? And if you're wanting something to do, I've got my friend Jeff on the phone with me. He's on the line, and we're giving you a way that you can get engaged and be heard. Immediately, you can make a phone call to the governor. And Jeff, I think today, I know there are people right now listening that have the capacity to donate the funds to make this phone call all across Oregon and hit the governor with a ton of phone calls saying this is outrageous. Talk to us a little bit about that process and what that looks like, and tell us a little bit about this survey.
Well, it's a single question survey asking people what their agreement or disagreement is with the governor, and if they disagree to a pretty strong level, then they'll be offered a chance to go through a patch through. And then by pressing 1, we can directly connect them to the governor's office. And what we could do is use that history of what they just did as a means of identifying them as somebody who's with us. And so one of the problems we have in Oregon, we don't have an overwhelmingly Democrat-registered state. We have 25% Republican, 35% Democrat, and the rest are unaffiliated. And we could actually get lists of those unaffiliated people and find out which of them are with us in this way. And then the next election cycle, you could turn that into a list of people who are interested in freedom and might likely vote for a more freedom espousing candidate, which would tend to be a Republican. I noticed that in the surveys I've done that the Democrats tend to agree with the lockdowns. I'm not sure I understand exactly why. Maybe it's because a lot of them are insulated from the problems caused by the lockdown. Maybe they're government employees, and I think your idea is the governor should set an example and give her payroll. We're going to have a huge shortfall in our taxes, and maybe she should give her payroll to some group that would help alleviate the problem caused by her own overly dictatorial law. Essentially, she's created a law without any legislative representation.
That's exactly right. And we're getting educated, if that even sounds right, but we're coming to a knowledge here in Oregon. Even our own Oregon Constitution highlights the fact that she does not have the capacity, even under the emergency clause, and that's what Chris Ann went into about 10 minutes in my first segment of the first hour. She talked about how she doesn't even have the authority. The only authority through emergency she really has is financial, not to make laws, and certainly not to have criminal penalties. And we as Oregonians need to understand this, and we need to, in a critical way, do some educating. You know, we need to say, hey, this is what's really where we're at. She doesn't have the authority, and if we're ignorant, that's on us. You know, our consent is out of ignorance, and we cannot stay in that place, not only for right now, but for our future. And the difficulty is, many people have said, that I've talked to in the last couple days, is, oh, I don't think it'll be 2 weeks. Just like in the beginning when she said, oh, flatten the curve in a couple weeks, and then it's 6 weeks and 2 months. And, you know, now we're 8 months later and we're under another lockdown when we really were not free to begin with. When you compare to some of the other states that have not done these things, you know, even in our phases or whatever she talked about, we were still in a lockdown mode.
Yeah, essentially a house arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Stay home or else. And the unfortunate reality is that Oregonians have always had a means to help change our political situation with the Oregon Political Action Tax Credit. So few people use that. You can go to OregonFaithAndFreedom.org and read about the TAC donation, how it works. You can sign up with our email list and join in there, and then you can help with the donation.
Excellent. And if we have enough people to pitch in at $25, $50, what would you have spent on a meal this week going out that you can't? And if we can do that with this pack and get the survey out and we get flooded of just the governor's office is overwhelmed because they don't even, we know we don't, they don't have the staff, but they get overwhelmed with the response from Oregonians. We're going to show them, look, you have hit a nerve. And certainly, Jeff, I don't know how much with their surveying and the background of what had happened in Portland with the unrest and the riots and things, but do you notice how they backed off when they realized it was hurting them politically before the election? They backed off, even the media backed off on reporting it. And so it's still effective. I think it's still effective. When she hears from enough of us, it will influence her because I think there are, even though she's the most, one of the most unpopular governors in the United States right now, I think she's positioning for something in her future. And she doesn't want to be unpopular. She's making this as if she's the most compassionate governor by looking out for all of us when she's actually hurting us. And so, you know, I implore our friends and our listeners to do what you can so we can get the survey, you know, donate $10, $25. Let's get the survey done so that next week we can see the impact of it, right?
Right. Well, and that survey can go, I think, can go day to day until she changes her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And opens up the Oregon again.
And then we can also start building an opportunity to an action committee, right? And a way to stay active and engage these folks. In the non-affiliated voters, here's something interesting I learned yesterday. When we do the registration, the motor voter registration, where so you go get your license renewed and you say, are you voting? Most people will fill that out or whatever, and then I guess they get some sort of postcard back in a couple weeks back to their house about the registration process. And how we get so many non-affiliated voters is they don't finish that. They don't recognize as a Democrat or Republican or Libertarian or whatever. It just probably goes in the junk mail. And so that's why we end up with this whole big group of folks that are, maybe they're not really interested in voting, maybe they're not really interested in politics or whatever, but they're in the non-affiliated area. And I'm hoping that through the next couple of years, with some increased recognition of change needed in our voter process and our voting process, we can clean that up a little bit. But we're not quite there yet. Right now, we need to make sure that we connect, that we hound the office. What's the phone number directly? If people want to just call today and keep calling every day themselves, what's that phone number again that they need to call?
503-378-4582.
Outstanding. All right, so we'll put that up on the show plan too, but we're talking about the survey going out to Oregonians in general to identify and have them do something. And so it's a one question. If they're interested, it'll patch them through to place a call with Governor Brown. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. What else is going on with the Faith and Family, the foundation? I want to talk to you about that when we come back after this break. Thank you, Jeff, for being a part of the conversation. Hold on, and I'll ask you a few more questions after this, all right?
Okay.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Friday and every day. I want to remind you, Supermarket Saturday tomorrow. 9 to 4 down at Safeway on Center Street. Hope you'll stop by with your non-perishable items. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning. Stepping on my way.
Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Friday. What do you have planned this weekend? Well, it looks like the sun's going to be coming out on the next couple days, which is nice because it's been cool. It's real cool this morning. And at the KSLM studio, it's warmed up to about 36 degrees. We'll see temperature about 47 for a high, 50 for tomorrow. We'll see some sun peeking through and then rain the beginning of next week. So that's something to plan for. Maybe you can get your leaves raked up, and they'll be a little wet and soggy, but continuing the fall chores right before winter right around the corner. We have Jeff on the line, and Jeff, I want to thank you for joining me kind of last minute today, and I think it's really urgent and important that Oregonians know that there's something that they can do, because it feels like we're a little powerless, and I was just reading this, and I think it's really true. At this moment, our governments are telling us that when to open our businesses, when to see our family, and how we're allowed to breathe. This is not the America that we grew up in. This is not the freedom that we are used to. This is really not about safety or a virus. It's about setting us up for a new way of life, and it's called socialism. And I keep maintaining not on my watch, and as long as I'm have the opportunity to be here with the microphone, we're gonna collaborate. We're gonna do what we can do, and I'm gonna tell you how and share with you ways that we can get engaged and get involved. And one of them is helping this organization fund the survey. I think it's important. Where do they go to donate their funds?
OregonFaithAndFreedom.org, and you'll find a page there explaining the Oregon Political Action Tax Credit. We are going to add some additional ways people can join in, but Oregon has such a unique funding mechanism that everyone should take advantage of the PAC donation we have.
Yes, $50, you get a tax credit off of your state income taxes for donating to PACs, to campaigns. And here's a great cause you may or may not know. Did you say that only about 6% of the population utilize this PAC?
Only 6%.
Mm-hmm.
So in any room of 100 people, there's 94 that don't understand it, don't realize they can do it, and everyone should, because otherwise your money's going to the state through your state income taxes, and it may end up paying for a state-funded abortion.
Oh, boy.
Oh, so yeah. Everyone should do that. That should be and you must do it in this calendar year. It's not the kind of thing that you can wait for into the next year and think, oh, I can do this, and it'll affect last year's taxes.
Mm.
Your check or your donation has to be done on the web before the 31st. At midnight. It has to be in the mail or done.
And the other thing that you can do when you go to the website, you can donate. You can also sign up for the email. Your action, you have talking points and action. You send out letters and kind of the state of what we're doing and what we need to do. And you give account to what's been happening and the results of some of these calls and what you're hearing back from people. It's so important to stay connected. And my idea is in every county in Oregon, if we have a action committee, and ideally that would be for those of us that identify as Republicans, right? It would be an active Republican committee in each county moving forward the agenda of family values and things that line up with our faith here in the state of Oregon. But we have to recognize that there are Democrats that are conservative as well and that are faith-filled as well. And they're believing that they can change the Democrat Party. I know people like this. They don't want to leave. It's a family heritage. It's kind of like identifying with a denomination of church. You know, they want to try to make a difference within the party. And I recognize that. So what I love about this organization is it's a opportunity for anybody of any political affiliation to line up around our freedoms and our faith to move the agenda forward, correct?
That's correct. And we could essentially have a 36-county chapter organization as a place where people could become educated and realize what they can do, and then they could start plugging into the parties from there.
Yes.
I believe it's often too far a step for somebody to be interested and go immediately to be in a PCP.
Yes.
But they could join a chapter location and then get educated. That can help them encourage their pastor and lay leadership to take stands, to stand for morality and goodness in our culture, in their church, and then it could help them get involved in a precinct level, in whatever party they're in.
That's exactly right, and it's important that we learn what we can do and how we can stay active and the difference that we can make. I appreciate you being on the show, Jeff. And again, give us that website one more time.
OregonFaithAndFreedom.org.
Excellent. Well, we'll touch base with you soon and find out how we're doing on the fundraising and how soon we can get those calls made. I appreciate it. We're going to take another phone call here right at the end of the show, see what we can get, I believe. Good morning to you. Thank you for tuning in. How are you?
Hi, good morning. This is Gail calling in again.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. Before you close the show, would you repeat that phone number just one more time? And then I had a question too for Jeff, but maybe he's already gone. Can we, or is there a printable? I don't know what I'm trying to say. Something that the people of us who are listening, because not everybody listens to your show, unfortunately, and even us who do listen don't catch everything. So I'm wondering if there's something that is printable for this donation, for this survey, that we can hand out to the people that we come in contact with, our neighbors, so that we can increase our reach.
Like a flyer type thing. I think that's a great idea. I'll work with Jeff on that, and we'll put something together, and I'll put it in on our Facebook page, and I'll put it on our as well on our show plan today. And why don't you send me an email, Gail, at Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y at KSLM dot news, and we can follow up on that. That's a great idea, ways that we can educate, and not everybody's online either, and we got to be reminded of that. There are other ways that we need to connect with our neighbors and our friends, and it isn't always on digital. Some people, in fact, are pulling away from it because of all the manipulation that's going on. So great reminder, Gail. I appreciate that, and I certainly...
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, you've got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. Years ago, we had a situation where we had a person who was extremely hard to deal with, and we were building a house, and we just lifted it up in prayer. And so I was convicted that we should not only be not wearing our masks and doing all these things, but we should really individually lift up Kate Brown in prayer and hope for a Saul Paul conversion.
Yes. And I agree with you. That is a beautiful way to end this show. Let's all join our efforts in prayer and then get active. Thank you, Gail. Have a blessed day. And thank you for calling in.
Yes. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. A great morning of interaction, taking action, standing up for our Oregon. It is our Oregon. And we have our rights. We the people, right? Doing what we can do to stand strong in our community, stand for our businesses and our neighbors. You have a fantastic weekend. Come out tomorrow. Join us at Super Saturday, Supermarket Saturday, 9 to 4, Center Street Safeway. Bring your non-perishable. I'd love to meet you. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you and I are facing, we are overcomers. Have a great day.